My talk is going to be the collection of the Quran. We're going to have a look at how the book was originally compiled after Muhammad's death. But perhaps one has to begin with the Muslim attitude to the compilation of the Quran before we look at it from a historical perspective. The reason I say this is because Muslims worldwide believe to this day that the Quran is perfect, that it has been transcribed just as it was revealed, and the conviction seems to be that if it was revealed from heaven originally in a perfect form, then Allah must have preserved it equally perfectly. And one finds, for example, Muhammad Hussein Haykel saying in his book, The Life of Muhammad, the purity of the Quranic text is and will forever remain the greatest miracle of all history. So there is a conviction in his writings and in those of others that the Quran has been preserved absolutely pure and entire, virtually down to the last vowel point. From a Christian perspective, this attitude is important because Muslims generally use it to reflect on what they believe is a corrupted Bible. Muslims find that here and there in the Bible there are variant readings, mainly in the New Testament. There are one or two passages, I think in fact only two, whose origin is uncertain. From a Christian perspective, these things are not really important because these passages in the Bible put together wouldn't fill more than two or three pages, and the Bible is well over 1,000 pages long. But nonetheless, Muslims are convinced that this proves that the Bible has been changed, and they say our Quran is perfect, and so as a result they suggest that this proves that the Quran is the Word of God. Islam has never been through what we call in the Christian world scientific or historical criticism. In the case of the Bible, scholars have examined the book objectively in terms of its historicity, and as a result of this, we have the records of the variant readings, which are usually recorded as footnotes in most translations, particularly English translations of the Bible. But in Islam, there has never been, in all Muslim history, a time where the Quran has been subjected to any kind of critical analysis. It is just widely assumed that the book must be perfect because it is believed to be the Word of God. We are going to apply a process of critical analysis to the early records of how the Quran was compiled to see whether the Quran really has been preserved as is suggested, or whether rather there was a development, different stages in the development of the text which brought it down into the form in which we have it today. And I'm going to begin with looking at the state of the Quran at the end of Muhammad's life. It is a well-known fact that during his lifetime, the Quran was never officially completed. In fact, it could not have been, because as long as Muhammad was alive, there was always the possibility that further passages would be added to the text as it already existed. In fact, there are certain traditions in Islam that say that the greatest part of the Quran was revealed just before he died. And the Quran was eventually completed not by a decree of Allah, nor by any statement in the book itself to the effect that that was it, nothing more was to be expected. Rather, the Quran was completed pure and simply by the death of Muhammad. Once the recipient was no longer alive, there was no longer a possibility of any additional passages. And we know also from the records of Islam, the early historical records, what is generally known as the Hadith literature, that the Quran had never been compiled into a single book form by the end of Muhammad's life. In fact, it was only after his death that it was first collected into a single form, into what is called in Arabic records a Mushaf Wahid, a single manuscript. If we look at the Hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, and we turn to the English translation of it in volume 6 and page 477, we find that Zayd ibn Thabit stated shortly after Muhammad's death that Abu Bakr, that was Muhammad's first successor, his first Khalifa, sent for me when the people of Yamama had been killed. That was a battle that was fought shortly after Muhammad's death when a number of the Qura, a number of the reciters of the Quran had been killed. And there was a concern on his part, on Abu Bakr's part, that the Quran might be lost. So he called Zayd, and Zayd was known to be an authority on the Quran, and he said, "You are a wise young man. We do not have any suspicion about you. And you used to write the inspiration for Allah's Apostle, divine inspiration as Muslims believe it. So," he said, "you should search for the Quran and collect it," meaning into one book. And Zayd's reaction was to take exception. He said, "By Allah, if they had ordered me to shift a mountain, it would not have been heavier for me than ordering me to collect the Quran." And I said to Abu Bakr, "How will you do something which Allah's Apostle did not do?" Abu Bakr replied, "By Allah, it is a good project. The one thing that is clearly stated in this passage is that the collection of the Quran is something which Allah's Apostle did not do during his lifetime." But there were certain men who were regarded during his life as being authorities on the text of the Quran, and some of them are named in the same book, volume 6 of the Sahih of al-Bukhari, page 488. And the names of the four given here who were authorities are Ubay ibn Ka'b, two others, and Zayd ibn Thabit. And I mention them because I'll come back to Ubay as well as to Abdullah ibn Masud, who is mentioned in another similar text. Well, no one, as far as we know, knew the Quran absolutely perfectly at the end of Muhammad's life. If any one of these men did know it off by heart, the collection of the book would have been a simple matter. He could just simply have written it out and said, "There it is, word for word, dot for dot, and letter for letter." But that never happened, because Zayd, on the contrary, said, "I will have to search for the book," and he began to do so. And he said, "I looked for it. I searched for it on palm leaves." Parts of the Quran had been inscribed on the leaves of palms. "I searched for it on stones. I searched for it in the hearts of men." And in fact, we understand that most of the Quran as then known or recorded was in the memories of Muhammad's companions. That's why when so many of them were killed at the Battle of Yamama, that the order went out to Zayd to collect the Quran into a single manuscript. So he put the Quran together as best as he could. And one must note here that Zayd did not compile the Quran under any kind of divine supervision. It is not as though he was directed from heaven by an angel, by anyone else, to collect the Quran with the assurance that what came out would be perfect. It was one man, only a companion of Muhammad, not Muhammad himself, at his own discretion, who put the Quran together into the form in which we have it today. I've no doubt he did his best to be accurate as far as he could be. He certainly tried to get every text that he could. But we know that there are passages that were only found with one person. Zayd tells us in the same book of Bukhari, page 478, "I found the last verse of Surah At-Tawbah," that's the chapter of repentance, "with Abu Khuzaimah al-Ansari, and I did not find it with anyone other than him." In another record, in the Kitab al-Masahif of Ibn Abi Dawud, we are told that this Khuzaimah actually came to him, came to Zayd, and said, "You've missed out a text which we used to recite during the time of the Prophet." And he gave him this passage and this text. And it was only because of this disclosure that Zayd included it. So you can see that the original collection of the Quran was not something that was done under divine supervision. It was purely an honest attempt, perhaps, but really just an attempt to collect the book into one copy, one manuscript, one mushaf, as far as the redactor possibly could. And this copy of Zayd did not in fact become a standardized copy. It wasn't an official copy. at all. In fact, it was kept in seclusion for many years. Abu Bakr died shortly after Muhammad. This copy then passed to Umar, second Khalifa, and on his death, instead of passing to Uthman, the third Khalifa, it was kept by Umar's daughter Hafsa in her private possession. In fact, there are records in the hadith that state that she in fact kept it concealed under a bed. And one hardly gets the impression that this manuscript of the Quran was in any way regarded as an official copy. It was just simply one that was written out and transcribed by the man Zayd for Abu Bakr. There's no indication that it was ever intended to be used for the Muslim community as a whole. Therefore, it does not surprise us to find that there were a number of other companions, Sahaba of Muhammad, who were also writing out the Quran in their own way. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is known to be one of the people who wrote out a manuscript, a mushaf, a codex of the Quran. Ubay ibn Ka'b is another. There are many records of different companions of Muhammad who kept their own manuscripts, wrote out their own manuscripts. And particularly as Islam expanded, these various codices became useful as texts in the various provinces where Islam was becoming dominant. And as a result, Ibn Mas'ud's text became the official text of the Quran at Kufa in Iraq. Ubay ibn Ka'b, he moved into Syria. And in various parts of the Muslim world, as it was growing, different provinces, we found that these particular manuscripts of the different companions of Muhammad took on a sort of legitimate authority over the people there, and as a result, the particular writer of the Quran was regarded in high esteem, because if he knew Muhammad so well, and he knew the Quran so well, he was regarded as a person of great leadership. And so, the man had powerful influence over the community where he was. Well, we turn to the reign of Uthman to discover what happened next in the history of the text of the Quran. And we find that during a battle in what is now known as the Middle East, people came from the province of Kufa in Iraq and from other provinces in Syria, together Muslims, to fight the battle jointly. And they were astonished to find that the people of the one area were reciting the Quran differently to those from the other. And one man, Hudhayfa, was afraid of the people of Sham and the people of Iraq reading the Quran differently. And so we read in one of the works of Hadith that he was troubled by their differences in the recitation of the Quran. So he said to Uthman, "O chief of believers, save this nation before they differ about the book, that is the Quran, as Jews and the Christians did before." So Uthman, as a result of this, sent a message to Hafsa, saying, "Send us the manuscripts of the Quran so that we may compile the Quranic materials in perfect copies and return the manuscripts to you." That comes from the Sahih of al-Bukhari, volume 6, page 479. And so we see that Uthman, the Khalif, now took the unusual step of calling for that one particular manuscript of the Quran that had been transcribed by Zayd ibn Thabit, and he now said that this particular manuscript should be transcribed. It should be written out into a number of different copies. I think in all there were 7, and these were to be sent to those different provinces, and the objective was to ensure that one standard uniform text of the Quran became used throughout the Muslim world, and at the same time to ensure that the control of Uthman from Medina would remain absolute, and that the other companions of Muhammad who had their own text of the Quran would lose their influence. So we see that Uthman had a double purpose in mind when he ordered this manuscript of Zayd to become the official standard text of the Quran. The first was to do something about the growing influence of the Qurra, the reciters of the Quran who were getting so much influence among the people of the different provinces. And the second was to bring about what Ibn Abi Dawud calls the Mus'haf Wahid, the single manuscript, the one text, the uniform text for the whole Muslim community. Uthman had run into trouble because he had come from the Banu Umayyah, who were a tribe in Mecca who had in fact opposed Muhammad quite strongly in his lifetime. Some of Muhammad's greatest enemies came from this sub-tribe. And Uthman was one of the very few to actually follow Muhammad and become one of his companions. But when Uthman became the Khalif of the Muslim world, he installed a number of these enemies of Muhammad or their descendants in key positions in the Muslim world. And as a result, the original companions of Muhammad were highly offended, and there was a real danger of a conspiracy against the Khalif. And it was a masterstroke on his part to order, as he did, the destruction of all these other codices that had become standard texts in the different parts of the Muslim world, and at the same time institute or impose the text of Zayd as the sole authentic text. That was a masterstroke because it ensured that these men would lose their influence. It was as if to say, your texts of the Quran are not as authoritative as the one we have at Medina, and the aim apparently was to undermine the power and the authority that these men had wherever they were established. But the other reason was, and one accepts this, to bring about a single text. But what we see here is not that the Quran was perfectly transcribed, dot for dot, letter for letter, in one text, one single text at the beginning of Islam, even during the lifetime of Muhammad, but that Uthman took a particular action to standardize the text of the Quran. And the action he took was simply to order, as he does, that all the other Quranic materials, this is the same reference I gave earlier from Bukhari, all of the other Quranic materials, whether written in fragmentary manuscripts or in whole copies, be burnt. And that's just what happened to them. We read in certain parts of the hadith literature that Ibn Mas'ud was not keen to give up his text for destruction. Zayd was a young man when Muhammad came to Medina, and during Muhammad's time in Makkah, when Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was one of his closest followers, Zayd wasn't even a Muslim. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is recorded as saying, why should I give up my text to be destroyed in favor of one done by another man who was still in the loins of his mother when I already knew 70 chapters of the Quran off by heart? He said, I prefer to read the Quran according to the text of him whom I love the most, that was Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam, rather than Zayd, which indicated that he didn't think too highly of Zayd's manuscript. But one must ask the question, why did Uthman choose Zayd's text of the Quran rather than the text of one of the other companions of Muhammad as the standard official text for the Muslim world? Did he think it was better, more authentic? Did he believe that this one was perfect and the others imperfect? We don't get that impression at all. The impression we get is that Uthman chose it purely because it was convenient for him to do so. Firstly, the text happened to be at hand. It was there in Medina. It was nearby. And it was useful to him to have a text at home rather than have to draw one from one of the provinces to be used as the standard text. He could thereby assert the authority of Medina over the general Muslim provinces again. And secondly, this text of Zayd had never been used anywhere in the Muslim world, with the result that it had not been subject to dispute as the others had. That didn't mean it was better. The only reason it hadn't been disputed about was simply because the text had been concealed. It hadn't become public knowledge. It had not been used as a standard text in any of the provinces. And so it wasn't known. There was no rivalry about it. It didn't represent a particular faction of the Muslim world. And so it was easy to bring this text out and say this was done by a companion of Muhammad, well-known authority on the Quran, done under the authority of Abu Bakr, and therefore it should become the standard text for the Muslim world. That was very convenient for him to do it like that. But nonetheless, that's how it happened. And as a result, this text became the standard text of the Quran for the Muslim world. Now the question is, why did he order these other manuscripts to be burnt? if they were authentic copies of the Quran, why go to so much trouble to order that they should be destroyed? As someone has said, the Christian world has never had an Uthman. No one in Christian history ever ordered that whole written manuscripts of Old and New Testament scriptures should be burnt. There must have been something radically different between the texts of Ibn Mas'ud and Ubay ibn Ka'b and Sayyid ibn Thabit for such an order to go out. And one can only assume that they must have differed from each other considerably to bring about that kind of uniformity. The differences between them must have been so serious as to call for this kind of action. And so one would expect to find that there were variant readings in these various texts. And that's just what we do find. None of the texts were preserved to our knowledge. So we don't have a manuscript showing how Ibn Mas'ud's text looked exactly, or that of Ubay ibn Ka'b or any of the other companions. But nonetheless, records were kept of the differences of reading between the various manuscripts. Very careful records were kept. At-Tabari kept an extensive record in the commentary that he wrote on the Quran. So did Ibn Abi Dawud, who was the son of Abu Dawud, who wrote one of the major hadith works, Kitab al-Sunan. These men carefully preserved the differences of reading that existed between the different texts. In fact, Ibn Abi Dawud, in his book Kitab al-Masahif, writes that there were so many differences between that text of Ibn Mas'ud and the one of Zayd that the differences alone could fill no less than 19 pages of his book. He writes them out one by one and states what the differences were. He then goes on to the other manuscripts that were written out by other companions of Muhammad and lists the differences between them and the text of Zayd as well. And I am going to mention one or two of the variant readings that you find in this particular work of Ibn Mas'ud. But before I do, I'd like to tell you just something briefly about him. He was very, very highly regarded. Let me read that text to you more fully that I briefly mentioned earlier from the Sahih of Al-Bukhari, volume 5, page 96. Masruk narrated, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was mentioned before Abdullah ibn Amr, who said, "That is a man I still love, because I heard the Prophet saying, learn the Quran from four people. From Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he started with him. Then from Salim, the freed slave of Abu Hudayfa, and from two others."
At this point, turn the cassette over and press play to continue.